Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening this evening, as is every Sunday evening. We appreciate you listening. If you have a Bible question or comment, the announcer just gave the number. The lines are wide open. Many times people call in right at the end of the program and they can't get in because we have three or four lined up. But if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Again, if you call in right now, the lines are wide open. This is Patrick Donahue. Last week, we were talking about the phrase we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And so, circumcision doesn't matter anymore. The Old Testament law is not binding anymore, is what that first part is saying. It does not avail. But the thing that does avail, the thing that is critical to our salvation as far as what we have to do to be saved by the blood of Christ, is it says, the thing that avails is faith which worketh by love. We were breaking down that phrase last week. We were talking about faith and showing how that faith is absolutely necessary to our salvation. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reads this way, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In John 8:24, Jesus said, I said unto you that if ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And of course, the famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we have three passages there, and there's a lot more, believe me. Three passages there that prove that we have to have faith to be saved. But did you notice that none of those passages say that we're saved by faith alone? Now, the text we're looking at, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, says that faith which worketh by love is what avails, not faith alone. Now, other passages confirm that not only is faith necessary to salvation, but works are necessary to salvation. Again, the lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 1 Peter 1 verse 22 is one of those passages that prove that obedience is necessary to salvation. It says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." So, the way we purify our souls is by obeying the truth, according to that text. And then Hebrews 5, chapter 5, verse 9, talking about Jesus, it says, "Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So Jesus is the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That implies that those people who do not obey Jesus, will not receive eternal salvation. And then one more text proving that obedience is necessary to salvation. Not faith alone, but you have to trust and obey, is Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Shows that you have to do the will of the Father in order to go to heaven. It's not enough just to have faith, but you have to obey. You have to do the will of the Father. Again, this doctrine that we're saved by faith alone is just not true. The Bible teaches over and over again that it takes faith and obedience. It takes both. The text we're looking at says, "The thing that avails is faith which worketh by love." Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Steve from Wisconsin, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, thanks for taking the call, Patrick. My question is that when the Bible speaks of taking the Lord's name in vain, when we look at adoption, the adopted child takes the name of the parent. Is it possible that there was a double meaning in there by saying, looking at society today and seeing what we see, that people take the name of Christian or religion in vain, in vanity? And could God have had a double meaning in that?
I'm not following you, Steve. What's the double meaning you're considering here?
I'm saying that people take on the name of Christian. You know, they call themselves a Christian, and they do it in vanity. And not really meaning anything, but just taking on the Lord's name. I am a Christian, and now I'm taking the name of the Christian, but I'm not living the life that Christ or that God calls me to. Would that be taking the Lord's name in vain, since you're taking an adopted status and applying it to yourself?
You know, I see what you're saying, Steve. You're saying that basically, if we're going to claim the name Christian, which means, by the way, follower of Christ, we better live up to that name or we bring reproach upon that name. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you're taking it in vain. You're in name only.
You know, that's one of the things that we're talking about here is we're talking about how that you can't just talk about being a Christian and how that you believe in Christ. Faith only is not good enough. The Bible teaches you have to obey. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation and to all them that obey him. And so the caller is right. If we're not serving the Lord, if we're not being obedient to the Lord, we're bringing reproach upon his name. Very good point. David from Maine, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was looking at Ephesians 2:8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not the work, lest any man should boast.
Yes. Yeah, David, you're going to have to turn down your radio. It's coming back through. You're going to have to turn it all the way down to talk. But Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
Yes, sir.
Is discussing the basis for our salvation. Now, David, what is the actual basis for our salvation? What earns our salvation?
Jesus died on the cross for us.
Exactly. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 is talking about, is that no matter what we do, we cannot earn our salvation. It's the death of Christ that earns our salvation. But if we take a passage like, how about James 2:24, David? It says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So Ephesians 2 says we're saved by faith, not by works. James 2:24 says we're saved by works and not by faith only. So do you have any idea about what James 2:24 might be saying, David?
Sure. So there's a couple of things that I look at. Is one, we all know God does not lie, correct?
Correct. We can't contradict.
It means he can't contradict himself. So if he's saying not of works, lest any man should boast, that means there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven except for, let's say, Ephesians 1:13 through 14. I'm going to paraphrase this just a little bit here, but he says, if you have heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and key word here, have believed, and you read the Bible in full context, he's talking about believing with all your heart, then you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise, that this is your earnest inheritance until the day of redemption. And I don't see there where he says, believe and do this to do that. Also, the other part, there's many others I'm thinking of.
Uh-huh. But David, what we're talking about is what we said, that God cannot lie, so James 2:24 has to be true also. James 2:24 says we are justified by works and not by faith only. So that verse and Ephesians 2, both have to be true since God does not lie. And so what Ephesians 2 is talking about is the basis, what earns our salvation. That's the death, the blood of Christ. James 2:24 is saying, what conditions do we have to meet in order to be saved? Is it faith alone? No. No. In other words, faith is not all we have to do in order to be saved. If you want to be saved by the blood of Christ, you got to trust and obey. The condition is faith and works, James 2:24. So Ephesians 2 is discussing the earning basis for our salvation. James 2 is discussing whether or not our salvation is conditioned and what it's conditioned upon, and it's conditioned upon faith and works. We have to believe and obey in order to be saved by the death, the blood of Christ. Jim from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I was just wondering, this is maybe a peripheral issue, or maybe it's essential to what we're talking about. Are you saying that we can lose our salvation if we don't work enough after we're saved by faith?
That is basically one of the things I'm saying, Jim. You remember Galatians chapter 4, Christ is become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. A passage that teaches that we can fall from grace. So you're right. After a person becomes a Christian, if he doesn't remain faithful, if he doesn't continue in obedience to God, to Jesus Christ, he will lose his salvation. And that's because salvation, justification, is by works and not by faith only. James 2:24. Yes, Jim, that's what I am saying. Go ahead, Jim.
So it sounds like that God has allowed it to be sort of a subjective thing, because I don't know of anyone, myself included, that once they became a Christian by placing their faith in Jesus because of what Jesus has done, that has lived a life of sinless perfection. And so then it comes down to how good is good enough to keep your salvation, and how bad is bad enough to cause you to lose your salvation.
Okay, and what you've just done, Jim, is you've used human reasoning to try to overrule what God has said. God has said that we're justified by works and not by faith only. So we can't use any kind of human reasoning to try to say that can't be right. Of course, it doesn't say in James 2:24 that you have to have sinless perfection. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, if you try to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So it doesn't matter how much human reasoning we use, that verse still proves, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that a person can fall from grace. We cannot try to overrule that with human reasoning. Like, well, if that were true, then we'd have to have sinless perfection. Of course, that's just human reasoning. The Bible never says that. But it does say that once you're a Christian, you can lose your salvation. You can fall from grace. It does say that. We shouldn't try to overrule what God has actually said very clearly with human reasoning. Sherry from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question has to do with marriage and being unequally yoked. I just kind of want to get a definition of that, and in detail, just ask about if you're marrying someone that's a non-believer and you are a believer, or someone of a different faith altogether.
Yes. Well, this phrase that we're talking about, that you're talking about, being unequally yoked, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I guess it's in verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Correct.
And I think that could be talking about marrying a non-Christian. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, he says, have we not power or the right to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and the brethren of the Lord in Cephas? And so he's saying that he had a right to lead about a sister, a wife. The newer translations say a believing wife, Sherry. And so that would indicate that he didn't have to get married, but that if he got married, it needed to be a sister, a believer. And so I'm with you. I think it means that a Christian should only marry a Christian and not marry a non-Christian. Is that your point, Sherry?
That is my point.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to ask about, because it's just the term unequally yoked. I just wanted to put it in perspective as it refers to marriage in today's world.
And so, yeah, I think 2 Corinthians 6 teaches that, and certainly 1 Corinthians 9, verse 5. If we're going to get married, if a Christian's going to get married, they need to marry, in this case, if a male Christian's going to get married, they need to marry a sister, a believing wife. We have no right to marry a person that's not a Christian. Now, we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, the key phrase we're looking at is faith which worketh by love. That's what avails. The love part there is getting at our motivation for why we have faith and why we obey God. John 4:24 gets at that. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must worship God according to how he is said, in truth, but with the right motive, in spirit. Love, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so no matter how much faith we have, no matter how many good works we have, if we don't do it out of love, if we don't have love, then it does not avail. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. Even when we speak the truth, we have to speak the truth in love. Chris from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, Pat, it's been a long time. Excellent show, excellent topics. I just wanted to weigh in, and I hope I don't sidetrack or derail the discussion. On the faith-only discussion that you were having earlier, would it be a fair statement to say that if we're saved by faith only, then we're not saved by anything else? Like, for instance, grace. How could one be saved by faith only, but also saved by grace if he's saved by faith only? And there's a difference in saying that we're saved by faith versus saved by faith only. And if you're saved by faith only, how then could you be saved by grace? I would also be interested in your comment on, say, the discussion had between the Apostle Paul and Agrippa, where towards the end of Paul's lesson before Agrippa, he says to him, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And then answers saying, I know that you do. And Agrippa's statement at the end of that is, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This tells me that Agrippa believed he had faith only. But even by Agrippa's own admission, he was not a Christian.
Yeah. You know, I think you're making a good point, Chris, about Agrippa. And on the thing about faith only ruling out grace, I wouldn't use that argument, Chris, because what the people mean when they say we're saved by faith only is they're saying that's the only condition we have to meet. They don't mean that we're not saved by they don't mean we're not saved by the blood of Christ or the grace of Christ. They don't mean that at all. You follow what I'm saying? But this is the only condition a person has to meet. And so I wouldn't use that argument, but their argument that we're saved by faith only, of course, contradicts James 2:24. It contradicts the verse in Acts that you just read about Agrippa. It contradicts passages, Chris, that teach we got to be baptized to be saved, like Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. So that should have said, according to the faith-only advocates, he that believeth shall be saved, but it says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So I think you're right, Chris. You got any follow-up, Chris?
I think that when you put that particular verse in perspective, Mark 16:16, I heard an old preacher that was from Monet, Arkansas years ago make the statement, I read him in a debate say that if you say he that believeth and is baptized shall receive a brand new Ford truck, everybody understands that verse a whole lot differently. thank you for your time, Pat.
They would understand it easily if you put it that way, wouldn't they, Chris?
That's right.
Thank you for your call. Keep listening, Chris.
Thank you.
The passage in Acts about Agrippa that Chris was bringing up, a very good point. Paul is talking to King Agrippa in Acts 26:27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Here we have Agrippa believing. Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So in a sense, Agrippa believed, but he's certainly not saved. If faith only is all you had to be saved, why wasn't Agrippa saved? But anyway, we'll move on from there. We're talking about faith, which worketh by love. We got to have faith to be saved. No doubt about it. We got to have works to be saved. We got to have love to be saved. David from Maine, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. So, two things. Acts 16:30-31, and they brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must do to be saved? So he asked, how do I get saved? And they said, believe. Now read the Bible in full context with all your heart, that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again on the third day and shed his blood to pay our sin debt in full, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So if we went also back over to Ephesians 2:8-9 again, where it says, not of works should any man boast. I understand what you're talking about in James, but if you read it in full context, because we truly do believe, we will bear fruit. But he also talks about going into heaven being singed by fire.
Yep. So, David, thank you for your comments, okay? Appreciate your call. We're about to have to go off the air. You know, In Acts 16, verse 31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But it doesn't say all you have to do is believe. If that's what it meant, then a person wouldn't even have to repent to be saved. You could have a person who's a homosexual be saved just because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is all you had to do to be saved, as stated in Acts 16, 31, it doesn't say that. It just proves you got to believe to be saved. And then Acts 2, 38 proves you got to repent to be saved. And Mark 16, 16 proves you also got to be baptized to be saved. You got to look at all the passages to find out what a person has to do to be saved, not just look at one. Acts 16, 31 doesn't tell everything a person has to do to be saved. If it did, a person could be saved without repenting of his sins. Kate from New Mexico, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I was just going to say that I do agree. I think we should expound upon what believe means, because in James, what you were referring to, it did say that the demons believe. And so if we just believe in that type of meaning and say, okay, you walked an aisle and now you're going to, you know, be safe forever no matter what, that brings a different connotation as to a Christian believing, and it's walking the walk. Because the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I beat and pummel my body so that after preaching to others, I myself may not be disqualified. So we have to really look and see what believe means and what faith means. Faith brings on a whole different meaning when you believe as a Christ follower versus just believing to get a ticket to heaven.
Thank you for your call, Kate. You know, Kate was bringing out a good point from James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And so if a person can be saved by faith only, then the demons will be saved because they have faith. But you know, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? The demons call Jesus Lord. They believe Jesus is Lord, but they don't make him Lord. So you have to not only believe in Jesus, you got to call him Lord, you got to make him Lord. You got to serve him as your Lord. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 6 makes this clear. The thing that avails is faith, which worketh by love. And so if you have faith without works, according to that text, it does not avail. Even if you have faith and works and you don't have love, it doesn't avail. It takes all three. It's not faith alone that saves. It's faith which worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. About to have to go off the air. We do have one caller on the line. We're going to probably have to wait and take that after the program is over. So the person from Texas is on the line. Just please wait. And in 1 minute, we're going to go off the air and we'll take your call. But let's keep that in mind, that it's not just faith alone. We're not saved by faith alone. James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That makes it very clear. Acts 2:38, Peter didn't just say believe. He said repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's in Acts 22:16. 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says, baptism doth also now save us. Do you see that it takes not only faith, believing in Christ, but all of these passages confirm exactly what Mark 16:16 said. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not faith only. Believe and be baptized to be saved by the blood of Christ. Don't forget, make sure your service to Christ is a faithful service so you can be saved.